You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for October 11th, 2008. It's Saturday night. Hey everybody, thanks for listening. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff.
Yo!
To my right is my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hey there!
And you're listening to the Cinemaniacs Podcast, your weekly podcast about movie news, reviews, and whatever else we choose.
You're really getting good at that, man.
Oh, so are you.
Yeah, thank you.
On novice.
Hey, man.
On this week's episode, we review the new Ridley Scott film, Body of Lies. Leatherheads, the George Clooney film this past summer, spring.
Mm-hmm.
And Deception, Ewan McGregor and Hugh Jackman together for the first time. But first, the news.
We take you now to Kermit the Frog with another fast-breaking news story.
Sequel news. Now, last year was quite a fun year in that it was the year of the threequel. I said that previously before.
Yeah.
We had no less than six part three movies come out. This year, sequels, although they're out there, they'll always be out there. They have been since the beginning of time, right, as far as movies go. Mm-hmm. But not as bad as some years. Here coming up, though, we have some stuff. M. Night Shyamalan, he's taking off next year. He has started making comments about Unbreakable 2. He really wants to put that together. He always has since he originally wrote the movie, and you can see that if you saw the original. I don't want to give anything away. I highly recommend it. Like most Shyamalan films, it's got a twisty ending and story. So, you didn't care for Unbreakable. You give me this look over here.
Nah, I didn't care for it.
Wow. It was.
I don't think it warrants a sequel. Are you kidding me? Really?
I loved Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother John, who's been on the show, he said at one point Unbreakable was his favorite movie of all time.
Wow. Really?
Maybe it didn't hold up to you because you were expecting so much after The Sixth Sense?
That could be it. You know, the twist wasn't all that twisty, I guess.
Because it just made sense. It was good.
Sam Jackson, Bruce Willis.
You haven't seen it since it came out.
It is true, I haven't.
All right. So he's hoping to put that together. He keeps making mentions in interviews. Because right now he's working on Airbender, The Last Avatar, kind of live-action animation movie.
Hmm.
But in 2010, he hopes to have his next horror film out.
Hmm.
And The Happening comes out on DVD next week.
Right.
So we should be reviewing that.
Hopefully.
Or I should say this week. But we'll review it next week.
Right.
Lethal Weapon 5, talking about that. And they don't know if they're going to get Danny Glover and Mel Gibson back, but they're talking about Murtaugh's son being one of the lead roles, kind of get a younger skewing audience.
Oh, boy.
Hmm.
Tron 2.
Now, that I'd heard about.
Yeah.
They've been talking about that.
It's like a million years later.
A long time, yeah.
That's all right. We can do that. We already talked about Pirates of the Caribbean 4 in a previous episode. They're talking to Johnny Depp getting $56 million.
Oh! Wow. My stomach hurts. Wow. That dude's a pimp.
Oh, man.
And would you believe that's only 10%? I was going to say a little bit better than the previous record for most for a movie, which would be Tom Hanks for Angels and Demons, the sequel to Da Vinci Code. He's getting paid $50 million for that.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
So Johnny Depp, $56 million, Pirates 4.
Hey, man, more power to him.
Oh, yeah. The movies, I mean, yeah. the three of those movies have already made over $1 billion, sure, just in the United States.
Yeah,
they can spare a little bit for old Johnny.
Money bus.
Totally.
You know, and it's just about there. Get Smart 2 is a go. Lisa's shaking her head left and right as a no. Jeff's shaking his head up and down like he doesn't care. The Get Smart movie had potential. It was... I think we reviewed it on an earlier episode, so you know my thoughts, and I liked it. It was not the TV show, but
no,
it was decent. So since Lisa's so down just because of Get Smart 2, let's go right into our first film of the week, Deception. Deception.
Oh, I'm getting tired. Oh, it's time for me to go to bed.
Oh,
starring Ewan McGregor, who we know from such films as Trainspotting. I mean, Star Wars, the prequels. He was Obi-Wan in all those movies.
Moulin Rouge.
The Island.
Cassandra's Dream.
Which we've reviewed on this podcast.
Yes, we have.
And Hugh Jackman, who's most famous for playing Wolverine in the X-Men movies.
That's right. And don't forget him in Laughlin, Nevada.
Yeah.
He did some Broadway stuff, too.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, and Van Helsing.
Van Helsing, yeah.
Van Helsing.
Hugh Jackman was amazing as Wolverine. But I'm laughing because we just belittled this whole man's career. Because he's done nothing else. We've
pulled
note,
up,
right?
We've literally pulled up every low point this guy could have.
You like that, huh?
Unless I'm mistaken, a lot of people did like the movie Scarecrow. What's that movie called with the bus up in the air?
Van Helsing?
No, oh. That was No, oh.
Oh, that's that one with, God, with John Travolta. Travolta.
Yeah, it's where Halle Berry dropped trow. Yeah, oh, God.
And she didn't drop trow.
You're right. She showed flashed her boobies. Her whatever. Yeah.
That movie blew, man. Oh, that movie sucked.
But a lot of
Swordfish.
Swordfish.
Oh.
Dude.
There you go. Could call it Assfish.
That was a stinker.
Oh.
Boobies couldn't even say that
movie.
It was
cool when the bus flew up in the air, though. If you stayed around for that much longer in the movie.
No.
Sorry. That movie sucked.
Wow. So Hugh Jackman's big career has gone to making this movie here, Deception, which was
very deceptive, yeah.
It was written by the guy, Mark Baumbach, who also wrote Live Free or Die Hard, believe it or not.
Huh.
And Race to Witch Mountain, The Rock's big movie coming out next year.
Oh, my God.
Woohoo!
Which is a remake of, or... you know, Escape to Witch Mountain, the Disney films back in the 70s, which I happen to love. They're doing those again. And directed by Marcel Langenegger, who hasn't done anything previous to this, but he's directing Brothers in Arms next year. Deception. This was kind of cool, actually.
Uh-oh. Cool. There's going to be a fight, people. Get ready.
Here you have Ewan McGregor, who is an accountant for... big-time law firms. I mean, he works for an accounting firm, and he goes to these different law firms and goes over their books, does audits for them, make sure everything is done right. And he comes across Hugh Jackman, who's an attorney at one of these law firms, and they kind of hit it off. And, you know, but now Ewan McGregor is very shy. He's a little nerdy type of guy. Like I said, he's an accountant, so he hasn't done much in his life. And Hugh Jackman is that hotshot pollutant lawyer, you know, it's like young, happening hipster.
Suave.
Did you say suave? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he was like the guy everybody wants to be, you know, and everybody wants to meet, that kind of thing.
I see.
So, you know, Ewan McGregor spends several days at these law firms doing their books, you know, going over everything. So he sees Hugh Jackman one night, and the next day he runs into him and he says, "Hey, let's go get a drink." And they hit it off and they have fun and they go to lunch. And next thing you know, they got each other's cell phones. Well, Hugh Jackman has left town. He's gone to London. And Ewan McGregor has his phone and they said, "Yeah, just hold on to it. I'll be back in a few days. I've already got my calls forwarded to another phone I picked up. No big deal." But Ewan McGregor starts getting calls from people, from women, and they're wanting to hook up. That is, have sex. Apparently, Hugh Jackman belongs to some sex club.
So, in other words, he's like scored like the ultimate cell phone.
Yeah. Right?
You get a cell phone, and it just immediately starts ringing with women that want to screw you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, where do I get one of those?
Well, you got to find Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
What kind of plan is that? Yeah.
All right. I'm liking this movie already.
It was kind of cool. It reminded me a lot of the Rob Lowe movie with James Spader, Bad Influence.
Bad Influence, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? It was the one a few years ago with Aniston and, oh, God, what is his name? The guy we love.
Clive Owen?
Yes.
Oh, Deceived?
No.
Wasn't it Damaged?
Derailed.
Yeah,
it reminded me of that.
Hmm.
And I didn't hate this movie, but I can't say I liked it a lot because it was just painful. Like, well, That's just, mm-mm.
Come on, go ahead and hate it more. If you hate it more, then, you know, you two will get into a fight, and that'll be good for us. No?
Nah, it's kind of hokey. It was hokey.
I also got the feeling of Eyes Wide Shut while watching this movie.
What?
Oh, you poor bastard.
Without the music.
Dude.
I like this movie quite a bit. Yeah. I give it 4 stars.
Oh, my eye. Oh.
It's twitching right now, people. You can't see it, but it's twitching good.
Yeah, no, it doesn't warrant 4 stars. I'm sorry. I love these people that are involved in the movie, but it was lacking. It was just not strong enough. There was something lacking in the story.
There definitely was something lacking. Maybe it was the new director.
The performances, you know, it could have had something else. That's all I got to say is it was lacking something, a good chunk of something. It'd be like if you went to make cookies and you didn't add the butter, you know. just not quite right.
Yeah,
but
Well, how many?
Like I said, I didn't hate it. It's not like it was, say, Arthur and the Invisibles.
Okay, so, like 2 stars?
Yeah, I'd give it 2 stars. Yeah.
Hey, we had a listener last week who sent in an email that he wanted to see more cars and or have us talk about more car movies and boobies.
Yeah.
Well, this has not cars, but the boobies.
Yeah. It does have some boobies. Yeah.
Well, okay. Not a lot. If you would think a movie that's a sex film, I mean, it talks about a sex club, you would think there'd be more of them.
Yeah.
But there's a couple here and there, you know.
Okay.
Maybe that was something. Maybe if they went over the top on that side, then it could have been like a really sexy thriller. She's shaking her head. No.
It was lacking. You could stick all kinds of flesh up in this thing is lacking. I'm sorry. Because you know me, I'm okay with all that, you know. But
in fact, you encourage it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what was that email about? The boobies in the cars? I'm all about that. And I'm not one of those that, you know, I'm heterosexual and all that. Nothing against the gays or anything.
Oh, I just saw a bumper sticker. Not here.
I wasn't talking
in the studio, but I was on the street this past week and I saw the bumper sticker.
Well, what did it say?
It said, "I'm straight, but I'm not narrow."
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
That
exactly.
Was pretty cool.
That's about right. So yeah, I can't. Yeah, you couldn't have a million naked people in this movie, or it just blew chunks for me. So. You might like it. Not you. I'm saying the people out there. I mean, we know you love it. So
I didn't love it.
Well, you gave it 4 instead of 3.
Well, that means you really liked it.
Ah, there we go. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. Loved it as 5. Yeah.
And new listeners will know that or should know that we use the Netflix rating system. It's similar to the one at Amazon.com. We only use full stars. 1 star is hated it. 2 stars liked. What is 2 stars?
Didn't like it.
3 stars liked it. 4 stars really liked it. And 5 stars loved it.
As simple as that?
It's very simple.
Oh, yeah.
And we do that so that we have a standardized system that everybody uses. Netflix now has over 8 million customers. So that's a big chunk of people. Amazon, gosh knows how many. But the Cinemaniacs uses the same rating system. 5-star scale, no halves.
There you go.
Next up on the Cinemaniacs is Leatherheads.
Leatherheads. That was the George Clooney, Renee Zellweger thing.
That's correct.
All right. The football thing.
Yeah. Right. The 1920s or 30s football?
1925.
Yeah.
Well,
1920s when college football was a big thing. NFL has not around. Professional football was like a joke.
I think
you could compare it to wrestling,
right?
Professional wrestling today. You know, WWF and all that.
Well, colleges, those Ivy League ones, they were really big back in the day. That's why they had those secret societies.
I mean, they literally start off with the movie showing, you know, college football. It's in a big stadium. There's 50,000 people there. Everybody's losing their minds. And then they show the professional football game with 20 people.
Rundown park.
20 people. Yeah, in a rundown park, 20 people on the bleachers, and the team can't afford a football. You know?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, you know, so it's pretty great. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And this movie was directed by George Clooney.
Yeah.
Who also starred in it. And written by Duncan Brantley, who hadn't written anything before this, and Rick Riley, who wrote an episode of Arliss.
Okie dokie.
Was Arliss a football agent?
Yeah.
He was a sports agent.
Sports agent. Okay. Sports agent. So he had some sports interests. Besides starring George Clooney, he also starred Renee Zellweger, who's been in numerous movies, Bridget Jones' Diary.
Chicago,
yeah. Right? Cold Mountain. Jerry Maguire, right?
Hey,
which
Texas,
was a football movie.
Texas Chainsaw
wow.
Massacre.
Wow.
That's not a sports movie. What are you, deaf or stupid?
Oh, my God.
And John Krasinski, who I think everybody enjoys on The Office.
I like him on The Office.
Yeah. So, this, I mean, we already set it up. 1920s football. We're talking about college football being the big thing, professional football being nothing. But George Clooney, as one of the big-time players on a team, he kind of drafts the hotshot college player, that is John Krasinski, onto his professional team, pays him a whole lot of money, and everybody comes to see him. Mm-hmm. And it helps the team get bigger and better, and then the story goes on from there.
Yep.
Right? Trials and tribulations of getting professional football started up.
That's true, yeah. When it starts off, it's kind of, you know, it starts off, it's actually floundering and dying, and towards the end, you actually start to see the makings of what will eventually be, you know, professional football.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's
a period piece.
It's a period piece. I liked some of the dialogue came across as really snappy, almost had that Thin Man quality to it.
Right.
Yeah.
But there wasn't enough of it for me.
More in the mood.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate the movie. I liked the movie, but I was really wanting to like it more, especially when they would have those exchanges, those witty banter exchanges. I was like, oh, now that was kind of fun, but it would never last.
Amount to much.
Yeah.
I could not finish this movie only because it was during, I was tired. Right. But what I saw of it, I liked it okay, you know. Yeah. It looked okay.
Yeah,
I didn't get to finish it.
Not a lot of comedy going on either. I mean, they had some comedy bits, but like you said, witty banter. Nothing that it was funny, but it was enjoyable to watch, but not really great.
Right.
Yeah, I liked some of that smart dialogue. When you would get those two characters together, the man and the woman, and you get the smart dialogue going, it was...
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
But that would, you know, that was... That almost seemed like kind of like a little side thing, and then you get back to the other stuff, and... I just didn't find that nearly as interesting. It's amazing. I'm a football guy. You know, I grew up watching football, and I didn't find the football aspects of it all that interesting.
Yeah. No.
You know?
No. Well, because it was that old style of football. You know, they didn't have full helmets or the face masks.
Would be more fascinating to me. And there were some moments where they were playing the game, and it should have been, I don't know, it should have pulled me in more, and it just didn't.
Yeah. I'm okay with the fact that, like, they didn't have a lot of the resources that they do now. You know, I like seeing that.
Well, that's what I was. I was ready for it to be, you know, a little more brutal, and it almost came across a little Three Stooges.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so.
I think I was expecting more loose teeth or something. I don't know.
Well, that's what you hear about was back then. Was
sure.
They would get all kinds of stuff
just
knocked out of them.
Messed up, you know, and everybody looked, you know, just a little too, you know, a little too in decent shape.
Polished.
Polished to have been playing that type of football. Mm. You know?
Yep.
So
I'm giving it 3 stars.
I'm giving it 3 as well.
I'd give it a 3, and I didn't even see all of it. Only because what I did see of it, I liked it.
So. And that's why I don't give it a higher rating, because it was pretty predictable. It was your fairly normal story of, you know, progression. And
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, for that kind of story, it would have been neat if they could have pulled us into the whole football thing a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
I thought the romance thing was kind of nice, was all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, you know what? The love triangle wasn't even all that great, you know?
Right.
You know, the love triangle was supposed to be a little more interesting, and that was just kind of dull. Now, the interaction between Clooney and Zellweger was really good, but there just wasn't really enough of that going on.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So.
And we watched it on Blu-ray.
Looked good.
Looked okay. I mean, it looked. Oh, I don't want a black eye. It looked good.
Scratch.
I thought you were going to pop me.
So yeah, Leatherheads was not a big hit at the movie theater, and
we can see why now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The word of mouth didn't spread on that one.
Nope.
However, Next up, let me be the first to spread the word that Body of Lies is the movie to see.
Really?
We talked about Burn After Reading a couple weeks ago and that the Oscar season has started. Body of Lies is bringing it home. I mean, it's just like full speed now. This is Ridley Scott's movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Russell Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a very good performance by Mark Strong, who you may or may not know from such films as Stardust, Sunshine, Syriana, he was in, and even Revolver, the Guy Ritchie movie. Okay, Leonardo DiCaprio is a CIA agent deep, deep, deep undercover in Afghanistan. Yes?
What? Oh.
Nice to know you're paying attention here, Lisa.
No, sorry, I spilled water on me. Yes, he's in Afghanistan.
Russell Crowe is his boss, who is headquartered out in Washington, D.C., so they spend a lot of time talking on the phone. In fact, now here's where it gets cool, because cell phones, and they make a brief statement early on in the movie that cell phones have satellite tracking and chips in them that they can listen to anywhere and you know, find out where you're at. Wasn't there another movie we watched recently that was like that?
Yeah, that one didn't it have Dennis Quaid in it? Or, oh, you know what it was? It was Eagle Eye.
Eagle Eye.
Yeah,
that's
there
right.
You go.
Maybe that's why it just made sense to us, because Eagle Eye had already told us about it. That, you know, so
Big Brother's out there, yeah.
Right. Russell Crowe out there in Washington, D.C. knows every place where Leonardo DiCaprio is going because he has a cell phone, and they got satellite, you know, the spy planes flying over and watching over him. Well, he's deep undercover, obviously trying to find terrorists. And, of course, there's one big kind of terrorist, not Osama bin Laden, but one of his right-hand men or the head of another organization besides Al-Qaeda, Taliban, whatever.
Right.
And they started doing attacks, trying to get back to the United States for something or other. And so they really want to catch this guy. And Leonardo DiCaprio goes to Jordan. Yes?
Yes.
To speak with Mark Strong's character. He's like the head of the security council for there. This is so much espionage and intrigue and, you know, CIA stuff. And no, there's not?
Oh, no. I'm just looking at you. Yeah,
but
fine.
You're shaking your head.
I'm just looking at you. I'm watching you be passionate.
When we watch Leonardo DiCaprio in Blood Diamond, and you're like, wow, this guy is great. In fact, for Eagle Eye, you asked me, Jeff, about Shia LaBeouf, if he had grown into his man thing.
Yet. Yeah.
He's not there.
Right.
And you're watching Leonardo DiCaprio, and like, this is a man who's acting.
Right.
And doing fantastically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's just, wow. This is great.
Yeah.
He is really great.
DiCaprio, he did do good in this movie. It's interesting to have watched him grown in his last maybe four movies,
mm-hmm.
and I really like seeing that.
Yeah, me too.
The actor that really did well for me was the Mark Strong guy, that plays the head of security for Jordan. I liked him a lot, and this is not his first movie this year, I think. I think he's in some other movie. This movie to me was lacking. It is not. I have to disagree with Walt as far as it being an Oscar contender.
Wow!
Because it just was not strong enough. It had something that was lacking to it, and I did not hate it or anything like that. I liked it, you know, but I didn't like it a lot.
That's true.
I don't know. It was just kind of weak, and a lot of the same old, you know.
I had heard that about this film. I read a review or a partial review before I saw it that talked that this was like The Kingdom without the CSI, or like Syriana, which Mark Strong was also in, but it was like Syriana except you knew what was going on.
Well, you can't compare this movie to, because it's always a different story. And the story, it was good. The performances, not all across the board, were good, but a couple of performances were really well.
Mark Strong, Leonardo DiCaprio, even Russell Crowe wasn't bad.
No, he wasn't
bad.
You know,
they talk about him gaining the weight for this role. You know, he put on 30 extra pounds or so, and
yeah.
He's a big, kind of a washed-up CIA guy. Now he's got a desk job, but he's been there on the streets before, so he knows how to do it, but now he's got his young guys like DiCaprio doing it for him.
Yeah, that's his leg man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's not bad. It's just that it has some... It could have had some more depth to it, but it was It went into some parts that maybe it didn't have to explore. You know, it was a little bit too long in some scenes. But, you know, it was okay. I told Walt when we walked away, I said, you know what, it was good enough. And he had mentioned how some people had said it was like every other terrorist movie or whatever. And I said, no. They're all different. I mean, if you look at like Syriana, that's a different movie.
Yeah.
What was the other one you just
Syriana
mentioned?
Was very political.
Yeah, I love that movie. That was a great movie.
Yeah.
The Kingdom.
The Kingdom. That's an entirely different movie. Because they happen in the Middle East does not mean that they're all the same.
Right.
And that's what obviously. That was the premise of what this person had said.
Sure.
And I have to disagree with that because you got Three Kings. Three Kings was great.
Yeah.
Munich.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it was good enough. I'd have to give it a 3. But it wasn't Oscar worthy to me, but other people might feel differently.
So. I think DiCaprio is getting a nomination for this, and I give it easily 5 stars. This is challenging me for best movie of the year, above Rambo and Iron Man. Even so, this is really, really good, really good. And this was written by William Monahan, who wrote the best picture of a couple of years ago, The Departed, which, of course, was based on Infernal Affairs. I always want to make sure that everybody knows
yes,
that.
Yes, everybody needs to know that The Departed was based on Infernal Affairs.
Which is a fantastically great movie in and of itself.
Exactly.
That not enough people are watching.
Yep.
If you love The Departed, go watch Infernal Affairs because you get another story that, though it's similar, it's still different enough to just be another couple hours of entertainment.
Yep.
Yeah, please watch it.
Yeah,
Infernal you'll see Affairs. Where the root base comes from.
Infernal Affairs.
I mean, give credit to the
Absolutely.
Initial writer.
Yep.
So William Monahan, that he wrote The Departed based on that previous work. He wrote this Body of Lies based on David Ignatius's novel, which is fine, and it, because it did a great job.
Yep,
I enjoyed it.
That's cool.
So there we go. We have Deception, which Lisa and I disagreed on. I gave it 4 stars. Lisa gave it 2.
2. Yeah.
Leatherheads, I think across the board, we gave 3 stars to. Mm-hmm. Body of Lies, I loved. 5 stars. And Lisa?
3.
3 stars. I guess I got one email this past week, which was from Brad in Salt Lake. And he was hoping that we'd review some movies like Left Behind. You're laughing.
Well, that means I'd have to see some movies like Left Behind.
I tried watching one of those one time
uh-huh.
because a friend of mine from work, she was, oh, Lisa, you got to see these movies. Da 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 da, right?
Yeah.
And it was a friend of mine, Donna Wynn. And I tried to watch one of these movies, and it was borderline painful for me.
Yeah.
Because I am spiritual, yes, but. It's really hard for me because I can't remember all the, you know, proverbs and all that stuff that you're supposed to live by, I guess.
Well, Brad, let me tell you this, that you're in Salt Lake City, Utah, I'm presuming when you say Salt Lake, and I recently saw a movie called Latter Days, which is based on some Mormon missionaries that come out to Los Angeles. And they just happened to be in an apartment next door to a guy who is very gay, homosexual, and the hijinks ensue, I should say. That's probably giving the wrong description, but it's actually a really good movie that is not good versus evil, like you said, but that's a movie that I can recommend. And also Saved, starring with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, Saved. Saved
I mean,
was really good.
If I think of religious movies, that's a movie I go to, is Saved. I love that movie.
I gotta tell you, I think of another movie with a Mormon missionary. I recall a lone Mormon missionary going to to Hollywood to try and get out there and do some
Orgasmo.
Yes, Orgasmo.
Oh, awesome! Love Orgasmo. Sweet high five.
Yep, yeah. I love it.
And I did love Orgasmo also. And I don't care for South Park. At least when I used to try to watch it, but those guys, Trey Parker, Matt Stone. That Orgasmo was a funny movie.
That's a great
hilarious movie.
Well, that's very nice that he sent that email. We will try to.
No, we won't.
Yeah.
I'm open-minded. I can't see myself seeing the Left Behind movies exactly.
Hey, maybe he could suggest some to us or some of the other listeners, something that's moderately mainstream.
Well, even this independent movie, we certainly do enough of those, but
sure.
Something, I mean, like I said, I just saw Latter Days a few weeks ago and Saved. I've seen it a couple of times.
The Ten Commandments? I've seen that.
Oh, yeah. The Ten Commandments, yeah. Of course, Charlton Heston. Yeah, sure. We all love that.
Yeah.
Every Passover they play on TV.
That's got some church in it, right?
Does it? Okay, then I'll watch that.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, there's a lot of praying in that movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay, well, if you would like to send us an email, our email address is podcast@thecinemaniacs.com, which is just an extension of our website, thecinemaniacs.com. Go there. We have a new poll up, so check it out. Our last poll that we had was a pretty simple one, but what was your favorite movie season, the blockbuster summer season or the Oscar-worthy fall-winter season? And it was actually 66.7%. For blockbuster season versus 33% for the Oscar-worthy. So, with that, have a good night.
Later.
Thanks, bye.